on air now.
News Talk 970 WMAY is radio you can depend on, with live local talk on the biggest issues of the day. On News Talk 970 WMAY, you'll hear lots of passionate opinions. The opinions of our hosts and callers, not necessarily those of the management, staff, or advertisers. Call 629-7970 to speak your mind. But when you do, your call becomes the property of News Talk 970 WMAY and may be recorded, edited, and played back at any time. Depend on News Talk 970 WMAY. Now, live from our main studio, it's Bishop on Air.
And this hour brought to you by Springfield Welding and Auto Body. A vision not to be the biggest or fanciest, but the best for your car's body. Springfield Welding and Auto Body. Last half hour, we were talking about Fox News, of all places, and the New York Times, of all places, reporting on how a former U.S. senator wants 28 pages of intelligence reports released, claiming those 28 pages indicate that Saudi Arabia was involved in 9/11. Of course, 9/11, for my generation at least, has brought on not only the surveillance state that we find ourselves living in, a world written in a dystopian novel of sorts, but it's also given us the global war on terror, a perpetual borderless war that, in all estimation, is going to last generations. And you look at the information that we didn't get on September 11th concerning that attack and all of the places that we've been sent around the world to fight terrorism in the name of truth, liberty, and justice. Yee! But is that really what's going on? And how can you, as a tax-paying citizen, combat that? Well, joining me, Peter Smith. He's a former professor at St. Mary's University, close to Notre Dame, and he is a war tax resister. Peter, thank you so much for taking time today. Is it typical that you go on talk shows to discuss war tax resistance? Are you pretty public about this in general?
Yeah, I'm very public about it. I was on a radio show last week concerning some of my work, and so I'm happy to talk to you today. Thank you.
Absolutely. So tell me, how long have you been doing this? This isn't something that you just thought of a couple of years ago and said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and use this war tax resistance strategy. When did you start this?
Well, I started back in the Vietnam War days in 1969 when I first came to St. Mary's to teach. And so that was when I began.
And you actually were in the service, is that right?
Yes, I was in the Navy from 60 to 64, and I was not overly fond of the service, but I was certainly not anywhere near the position that I would take now as far as war tax resistance.
So war tax resistance, before we get into some of the particulars about you personally, what exactly is war tax resistance?
Well, the income tax that we pay, about half of it goes to support the military. And so a war tax resister would refuse to pay some or all of that amount of money when they file their form, or some of them don't actually file. But in any event, they try to avoid paying the taxes that go to support war.
So essentially, you pay half of what you owe the federal government in income tax.
Correct.
And you withhold half out of protestation for wars that you just simply do not agree with.
Well, I don't agree with killing people in general, so I'm sort of dedicated to nonviolence. I don't keep the money. I send that half of the money that I don't pay the government. I send it to organizations that I know are going to be helping people. So I end up paying the whole tax, but I don't pay it all to the government.
Yeah, you don't use the government's multi-levels of bureaucracy to end up in the hands of weapons manufacturers that blow up kids overseas.
Right.
We're talking with Peter Smith. He is a war tax resister, has been doing so since 1969. Holy cow, Peter, that is a long time. Tell me about some of the trials and tribulations of sorts of practicing war tax resistance.
For myself, I haven't faced any kind of jail or criminal kinds of things, although it is against the law not to pay your taxes. However, most people don't ever face any kind of criminal charges. The IRS would just as soon collect the money and sock you with fines and interest payments on what you don't pay.
Yeah, because, Peter, I mean, let's face it. If you don't pay and they say, oh, we're going to throw you in prison, then it's kind of hard to get money out of somebody who's sitting in prison not making any money, right?
Right, yep.
So in all of this time, since 1969, you've never had criminal charges brought up against you, but the government still kind of has gone after you to a degree.
Yeah, they have, yep. Yeah, the first thing that happened to me was when I, after I started to teach, I was a young professor, and the government came and garnished my wages to get the money they said I owed in taxes. And that was a little scary because the business office at the school was trying to get me fired for that. However, I was supported by the academic people, so I was able to continue. And I stayed at St. Mary's for 35 years. So.
You know, I'm curious, you know, why would the business office think that that's any of their business where your earned money goes? If I'm not supporting, you know, the IRS going after garnishing people's wages for war tax resistance necessarily, but why would that be a possible terminable situation? I don't understand that.
Well, I think it was the first time the IRS had ever come to the school for that kind of purpose, so they were embarrassed, I think, and they didn't think faculty members ought to be engaging in that kind of work that would get the IRS irritated at them.
How many years did it take for the IRS to, 1969 again, is when Peter Smith started war tax resistance, how many years did it take for the IRS to actually act?
Well, they acted very quickly, it turns out, at that time. Later on, they've waited even up to 10 years.
Wow.
They have 10 years from the time you file the tax form to collect the money. Or maybe 10 years from the time they send you the bill to collect the money. They send the bill right away. It takes them only about 6 or 8 weeks after you filed before they say, hey, you didn't pay, send us the money. And it's varied. It was fairly quick, though, at the very beginning.
So garnished wages at St. Mary's University shortly after you started war tax resistance, 1969. How long did that last? Did they still garnish wages from you for several years or something?
Well, it took several years, yeah, before they were able to get all the money they said they needed. But after that, I don't think they did it again. After that, they took money from our bank account. Then they took my IRA money, a big chunk of money that I had set aside for the IRA. They took a bunch of that, $25,000, I think, of that. My wife is a doctor. She's also a war tax resister. And she gets insurance payments from Medicare and some of those other places, and they took that money as well.
Peter Smith joins us. He's a longtime war tax resister, associate professor at St. Mary's University, though you're retired, and you've worked there for years, and they garnished your wages, they took money from your bank accounts, they took money from your individual retirement account, they even went after your wife, who's also a war tax resister. Across the country, how many people are considered war tax resisters?
Well, we don't really know that. There are lots of gradations of war tax resistors. A couple of ways one can be a war tax resister is to live below the taxable income. And a lot of people who do that are essentially doing it in order to avoid paying for war, though because we don't know that, and that's legal to live below the taxable income, so there's no penalties for doing that.
But you're essentially living in poverty.
Well, it's not. Well, it's low. It's definitely below what a normal person would. It's probably a poverty level for the U.S. Yeah, right.
Sure, sure. So that's one method, is to live below the taxable income level.
Yeah.
But what about some other options out there?
Well, you can also write a letter in protest when you send your taxes in. I'm not sure that does much, but...
By the way, I sent my tax forms in on Sunday, and I so wanted to put a letter in there. I am filing this under duress in violation of my Fifth Amendment rights to not incriminate myself. Because apparently, Peter, making money is a crime that you get penalized for.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. Peter Smith joins us. The living below the taxable income level, writing a strongly worded letter in protest, sending that in. But talk a little bit more about the strategy that you have implemented for all of these years.
Well, I file my taxes. In other words, I figure out exactly what I would owe. And then refuse to pay the half. It's roughly half. Each year the budget changes, and sometimes it's a little less, sometimes it's a little more. Back in the Vietnam War days, it was 63% of the money that we paid in income taxes went to the military. Now it's around 50% or a little bit less this year. So I figure that out, and then I send the money that the 50% is going to go to the social programs and so on that the government supplies. I send that in, but then I refuse the amount that's going to go to military, and instead I send that amount to organizations that are going to be helping people directly, not through the government.
So like food pantries and local social service agencies and various other groups that you feel are working in the public's best interest instead of, again, sending money off to weapons manufacturers.
Right, right.
Peter Smith joins us, a war tax resister since 1969. Do you have, at least when you were fully employed, now you're retired from St. Mary's University, but when you were fully employed, and I've even heard of tax resisters, not necessarily war tax resisters, but even those who are just fundamentally philosophically opposed to income taxes, people who actually don't have any withholdings from their income. So they get their full amount instead of having the IRS or even the state's Department of Revenue, because here in Illinois we have a state income tax, they don't have any withholding from their check, which means they're going to have to owe substantially come tax time, but then they don't even pay that either. Do you still have withholding when you were at St. Mary's University?
Well, I figured it out so that they wouldn't withhold any more than half of the money that that I would owe at the end of the year. It's called W-4 resistance. You just, on the W-4 form, on the back of it, there's a worksheet that allows you to figure out all the exemptions that you're legally able to do. And then once I had those figured out, I would then add a few more so that I could keep the amount that was withheld low enough so that I wouldn't owe any. I would still be owing at least half of the taxes at the end of the year.
Peter Smith joins us. He's been a war tax resister since 1969. He's been audited. He's had penalty and interests leveled against him. He's had his wages garnished. He's had money taken from his bank. He's had money taken from his individual retirement accounts. And they even have done similar things to your wife, and surely they've done similar things to people across the country that just fundamentally oppose warfare, regardless of what the what instigated that war. And have you been, what do you say to people at a cocktail party, Peter, who you tell, I'm a war tax resister? What does the general public think of you?
Well, it depends, on who I'm talking to, but people who are...
Well, give us the broad spectrum here. Give us the extreme on each side.
All right. Well, some people say, well, I'm paying taxes. I'm paying your taxes for you since you're not paying them, so that, why should I be paying for you when you're not able to, when you're not willing to pay your own taxes? So that's one kind of extreme that I would see. And the other side was people saying, boy, I really admire your stand. I wish I had the courage to do that. And there are people who actually, we have an organization that helps folks with the penalties and interest that the IRS levies. It's called the War Tax Resistance Penalty Fund. And many people who can't really do the war tax resistance themselves will help contribute some money to help those who do war tax resistance afford the penalties and interest, which can amount to maybe about half again as much as the original tax that they owed. So it's
fascinating, Peter. What an appropriate time to be talking about this too, with tomorrow being the tax deadline for people to file their federal income tax. And I've heard everything from, again, people who are just philosophically opposed to paying income tax, filing their report but not sending in what they owe out of protestation, and even the war tax resistance as well, something you've practiced since 1969. Holy cow, Peter. How much money altogether have you calculated that you've been penalized for, or that you have not sent into the war coffers, so to speak?
I'd probably run $100,000, I would think, that I haven't, the money that they said I owed, they took it all, pretty much. Lately, since I've been retired, I've been living below a taxable income in many years, so I haven't really had too much to do with the actual war tax resistance in a refusing to send the money in. Though lately, with the I'm over 70 and a half now, so I have to take the minimum distribution from my retirement accounts, and so that's beginning to creep up, and now I'm having to refuse again to pay. But that's kind of the way it's been working for me.
Peter Smith, thank you so much for taking time with me this morning to tell people about your long trials in being a war tax resister. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's Bishop on Air.
And the listener contact line, 629-7970. Greg Bishop, your host for Bishop on Air. Thanks for hanging out. And if you're hanging out later on this afternoon, TJ Hart's going to have a chance for you to score some qualifying opportunities. What are you qualifying for? Well, you could win either VIP seats or track tickets to go see 38 Special opening up for Hank Williams Jr. So be listening to TJ this afternoon, 4:50, and also Jim Leach has a chance for you to win, 7:50, all week long, and they'll be pulling winners Friday morning and Friday afternoon, right here with News Talk 970 WMAY. All right, 629-7970 is the phone number. You're on News Talk 970 WMAY. Good morning.
Yeah, I heard your remark on patriotism. For me, patriotism is not blind or obedience to a government. It's obedience to the spiritual or the principles of which the government is supposed to be based on.
And what principle is this government in particular, the government of the United States of America, what principle is that based on?
Well, it appears to be based on a group of wealthy individuals who are up there representing themselves and corporations and not the people. We can ask Governor Rauner to break up that union over there right down from his office, who seem to be doing the same thing and have been for years.
What union?
They don't seem to understand the Constitution, the Illinois State Constitution.
Who are you talking about?
The legislators.
Okay. All right. So
union of lawbreakers.
I got. Right, they're lawmakers. They're not lawbreakers. Thanks for the call. 629-7970 is the phone number. Yeah, and the term patriotism gets thrown around a lot. I think a true patriot is somebody who questions their government around every corner. And the whole trust but verify deal, no. Don't trust government. Just don't. Just don't trust government, and hopefully that distrust will cause those who are in government to work more to gain your trust. Just throwing it out there. 629-7970 is the phone number. Phone lines lighten up. You're on News Talk 970 WMAY.
Hey, man, great topics as always.
Thanks.
I say verify then trust. You've earned it.
Right.
And I've actually got two comments. As far as the last guy that you did the interview with.
Yeah, Peter Smith, a war tax resister since 1969.
Isn't that a little, I guess, counterproductive to do what he does in the sense that you are paying fines, so therefore you're paying more money that's going to go towards stuff that you don't want in the end. If you just pay what you're supposed to pay or what they want, what they make you pay or throw you in jail or levy your bank accounts or do whatever the hell they want to do to you.
Right. Essentially, I mean, that's kind of what I got from it. You know, 40 some odd years of not paying 50% or if sometimes more, they've still gone after him and physically taken money from his bank accounts, from his retirement accounts, withheld money from his wages. So, yeah, they got their cut. But what that shows to me is, again, I'll go to it, the monopoly of force that government currently has. And that force, in this instance, is forcibly going into bank accounts and retirement accounts and taking money.
Yeah, and my last comment is don't vote for Killery in the next election. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, don't vote for Monica's ex-boyfriend's wife, all right? By the way, yesterday I was racking my brain so hard trying to remember what that billboard was, and the billboard was the billboard was Monica Lewinsky's ex-boyfriend's wife for president. Oh gosh, and I couldn't remember that. I had it all jumbled up. I was the former president's wife. No, that's not it. No, Monica Lewinsky's former boyfriend's wife for president. Hillary Clinton. Oh, jeez.